Let the church say amen.
Amen.
God is good once again. And God, all the time, God is good.
Amen.
So we ought to be ever thankful that God has blessed us once again.
All right.
You sounded good this morning. Thank you, Brother Ray.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Brother Mobley, for the prayer. Thank all of you for coming out and being in the household of faith. This morning, it's good to be here. Because on last night, we didn't know if we were going to get here or not. But God has allowed us to be here, and so we ought to be eternally grateful for that. And when you think about it, many that started on the path the same time that many of us started are no longer with us. But God has seen fit to allow us to be here. The scripture was read for your hearing from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we want to look to the verse of verse number 9. Verse number 9 says, In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 9, the Bible says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." We are God's building, church. So before we get into our lesson, let us go to God for a moment of prayer. Dear God, we thank you this morning for blessing us to be here. Father, we thank you for blessing us to have our health and our strength, or at least a reasonable part of our health and strength. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, that you have seen fit to allow us one more opportunity to serve thee in spirit and in truth. We thank you for this rainy weather that we're having, Lord, because we know that it could be worse. We are praying for the people all over this country, but in particular those in Oklahoma, Father, for they have had troublesome times with the weather. But we know that you are in control, and any time you want to shut the fountain off, you but just call. You simply can say, "Peace, be still." Thank you, O Lord, for being the God that you are. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, that you sent your Son down to this earth. He hung between two thieves. He bled and he died that we might have this opportunity to call out thy name this morning. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for those that are here this morning. Thank you for those that may be on their way. And I pray and thank you for those that may be traveling or are about to travel, that they may have safe journey and a safe passage and safe passage to and from their destination. Thank you this morning, O Heavenly Father, for the leaders of this congregation. We pray for them and their families. We pray and thank you for the brothers who have taken part in the services thus far, and we pray for their families as well. And we pray for the next portion of this service that we are about to go into also, O Lord. Then, my Heavenly Father, we know that there are many who are sick and shut in, but we thank you for them anyway, and we're just praying that if it be your will, that you would touch them with your healing finger. If not, Father, let your will be done, but give us the strength to bear. Father, we thank you for our children, and we pray that we can have some peace and that parents would be able to raise their children up in the admonition of the Lord. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for everything you do for us. Thank you for all that you have done, all that you shall do, and all that you continue to do for us. It is in the name of your Son, Jesus, we continue to pray and ask for all of these blessings as well as more. Thank you, O Lord. Amen.
Amen.
This morning from the scripture, we are God, from the text, we are God's building. Many of us take our bodies for granted. Some of us even think that the young, youthful, and lean bodies that we have now will be with us forever. I hate to tell you this, but as we get older, they will and they do change. They break down, their components wear out, and eventually they will even cease to be. Isn't it wonderful to know that God made us in His own image according to Genesis chapter 1? We are the only bodies created by God in His own image. No other creature is made in that image. except man. We are God's building. Today I speak not of the body of Christ, but I speak in which we are members, but instead I speak of the body in which we live this morning, and which houses the soul. This morning, I also want to call your attention to Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. In Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, if you would look there for one moment, or you can just listen as I read it, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What about this building that God is talking about? What about these bodies that we live in? The body is a house where the soul lives and the spirit lives. And we should strive to keep it blameless. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in the verses number 23, the writer said, I pray God your whole spirit and your soul and body be presented blamelessly unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God in His infinite wisdom has given unto us our bodies as a place and a house, a building, if you will, His building, to house the Holy Spirit, to live in. When our lives shall come to an end, these bodies will return to dust, and the Spirit will return back to God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Bible tells us we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Since the body is the housing for the Holy Spirit, that means we are God's property. Didn't the text say that we are God's building? The text lets us to know that we are God's building. And the way some of us treat our bodies, or that building, if you will, any other property owner would put us out. But instead, God keeps on blessing us with chance after chance, opportunity after opportunity to do that which is right. When you consider a Christian ought to consider that since I am the temple of God, I need to do my best to keep it separate or keep it separated from the world. I need to make sure that I keep myself pure and clean and holy for God. I need to do my best not to separate or alienate myself from God. Notice verse number 17 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 17, verse number 17 of chapter 3. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for that temple of God is holy. The question that we ought need to consider this morning is very simple. Which temple are you? Which temple do you present yourself as? Each one of us must give our own answer to the question. For years we raised our kids to answer a simple question around a certain time of the year. Have you been a good girl, or have you been a good boy? Or have you been bad? We threatened them with the possibility of getting nothing from Santa Claus. But I'm here to tell you this morning, the more important question for us as Christians is, which temple are you? Which temple are you? Once again, the verse of Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Think about it, church. This is what our bodies are. Our bodies are the building of God. Our bodies are a holy temple, and you need to make sure that your temple is kept holy. Now, does that mean that we as Christians don't ever have faults, don't ever fall? I've told you this before, and I'll tell you again. Every last one of us in here, none of us are perfect. None of us are without sin, but you may not be a practicing sinner, but you are not without sin. But some of us are not practicing Christians either, so what does that make us? So we've got to consider the fact that if we are God's building, and in God's building, this body that is God's building, it houses the Holy Spirit as well as the soul. Now when you think about it, how have you been treating the Holy Spirit? How have you been treating your soul? And so the question becomes, what are we to do in the body? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19 and verse number 20, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? There it is again. Telling us that the Holy Spirit lives in our bodies, which is in you and which ye have of God. And we are not our own. That's something for us to think about. We are not our own. We are not our own. And how many times have we raised the issue within our own self? My body. My body is this and my body. Well, you don't own your body. Your body was paid for with a price. It says, which is in you, which ye have been given, which you have of God, and not of your own. But then I want you to notice verse 20. We are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So when you consider, when you think about it, when you look at this matter as a whole, how do you treat God's building? How do you treat your body? We are not to do anything that would cause our bodies to become defiled. We don't want to defile the temple of God. When one accepts Christ, they become one spirit with Christ. Our bodies are bought with a price. When we become truly Christian, we allow God to guide and rule over us. In plain terms, We don't want to ruin our bodies with the actions of the world. That's bottom line. With these bodies and with the Spirit, with our bodies we give. With our bodies we sing and offer praises. With our bodies we come to church. With our bodies we work. And you know the body, the physical body, goes through a lot of abuse and misuse. Our bodies, the ones that God owns, the one that God gave us. You know, how many bodies do you think we're going to get? I can tell you just one. Just one. Thank you, Oscar. Just one body and one spirit and one soul. And some of us are treating it like as soon as this one wears out, I got another one coming. But no sir, no ma'am. It's only one body and one spirit and one soul. And when we shall come to die, that body is going to go back to the dust from whence it came. So we've got to learn to do the right thing. And I want to ask a question of you. Would you be ashamed if God walked in here right now and asked you, what have you been doing with your building? What have you been doing with your body? What have you been doing with the body I allowed you to have, the building that you live in? Let us not allow sin, according to Romans chapter 6, verses 12 and verse number 13. Let us not allow sin, therefore, to reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. But then in verse number 13 it says, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now you know what he's saying there? He's simply saying, in other words, what reigns over your body? God's building. Do you allow righteousness or unrighteousness to reign and rule over you? Righteousness or unrighteousness? Which one does your body serve? Which one does the instrument, do you allow the instruments to work within you serve? Then when you think about it a little further, look at the text once again And it says in chapter number 3, verse number 9 of 1 Corinthians, we are laborers together with who? With God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Now that's a wonderful thought when you put it in all in perspective. When you put it in perspective, you realize I'm nothing without God. You realize that God is guiding me if I allow Him to. You realize that God is the owner of everything in this world, including your body. You realize that God is an awesome God. God is a wonderful God. God is a good God. All the time. Thank you. God is very good. But I like the fact that God was good enough this morning to touch me on my shoulder and lift the heaviness of my eyelid. I don't think I got enough sleep, but I think I got some sleep. And I didn't put myself to sleep. I didn't put myself to sleep, and neither did I wake myself up. But God has allowed us to go to sleep last night and then to wake up this morning and start on your way to serving Him. This is the Lord's day, and this is where we ought to be, in the Lord's house. Now I know what some may say, it's not as comfortable in this house as it is in my house. I don't have a TV in this house. I'm missing my flat screen. But I got some better news for you than that. You can pick up the Bible and you can use it as your flat screen during the Lord's day. You can say to yourself, I'm going to get into the Word of God because I am God's building. I work with God. He is my Lord and Savior. He is the God of heaven and the God of earth. I love the Lord, and I just want to say to the Lord this morning, thank you, Lord, and I'm off and on my way to your house this morning. That's what you should have said before you got here this morning. And never come into the church mad because you'll give rise to the devil. If you come in mad, you might make me mad. If you come in mad, you might think, well, everybody ought to be mad because I'm mad, and so you tend to make everybody mad. But that's not the way you think about the Lord's work. You got to think in terms of the Lord as being doing good works. In the 3 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 53, there are some thoughts that we should seriously take note of. We shall be changed. We shall be changed from corruptible to incorruptible. Our corruptible mortal bodies shall be changed to immortality. Isn't that right, church? When we shall no longer have these bodies, when life is no longer in our bodies, the soul and the spirit which lives in these buildings shall return to God from where they came. Yes, we are God's building. We work for God. We work with God, and He works in us and through us. Brother Hill always mentions it in his prayer when he said, thank you, Lord, for working in us and through us. And I remember thinking to myself, what a wonderful prayer to thank God for working in and through us. And so that's what 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 51 through 53 tells us, that these bodies shall change. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51 through 53. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. All of us are going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For the corruptible must put on incorruptible, and the mortal must put on immortality. When you think about it, church, it's a wonderful thought to know that God is going to change us. And you thought you couldn't change, didn't some of you? I ain't going to never change. I'm going to be the same all my life. You might be. But when you go away from this life, you will change. When life is no longer in these bodies, and we no longer have control to reach our hand out, we no longer have control to step out a little bit, to walk a little further, no longer have control to see with your eyes, then you shall be changed. This is why when Romans chapter 6 and verse number 12 speaks of not allowing sin to reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Our bodies are not our own. They belong to God. And we need to remember that. When we think of that text in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 9, speaking of God's building, our bodies, our souls, our minds, and our hearts belong to God. You didn't make nothing on your body. You didn't give your body none of its members. You didn't do nothing to obtain the body parts needed to create you. God put it all together. And we belong to God. We are His building. So when you consider all of the facts and you put them all together, you have to ask yourself, how am I living with my building, with the building God has given me? How am I treating my body? How am I doing with God's body? And then you ask yourself a final question before I bring this lesson to a close this morning. You ask yourself, this body that I treat so bad, am I really doing it to me or am I doing it to God's building? And you need to consider that. You need to consider just this one other thing. If God wouldn't allow us to live in these bodies, we wouldn't be here. We are on loan from God, if you will. And God can call us back at any time that He wants to. Think about it, church. How have you been treating God's building? Are you letting God's building be run down? Are you causing it to look like a blight on the neighborhood in which you come, the neighborhood in which your body lives? Have you considered that your body a part of the ghetto, or have you considered your body to be living in pleasure and pain? Or have you considered your body to be ready and waiting for God? God's temple, where the spirit lives and where the soul lives. Think about it, church. And just consider all of these things this morning. Consider that God is good. And He always will be. He always has been. And do you deserve, and when I say you, I speak of me too. Do you deserve what God has given you, the way you've treated the body? You know, when the landlord comes in your rental property, if it doesn't look right, he says what? The first thing he says, I'm going to keep your security deposit. Now, we didn't have to put up a deposit on our body. God just gave them to us. But when the landlord comes in and say, I'm not going to give you your security deposit back. As a matter of fact, you owe me for damages. Now, God has allowed us to live in these buildings that He has given us, these bodies that He has given us. And He has not put us out yet. How do I know He hasn't put you out? Because you're here. How do I know that God is allowing you to live in it? Because you are still walking around here today. Now, you may not walk as fast as you used to walk. You may not run at all anymore. But you still are using God's building. And what image does your building project to others, those that are not Christians? You know, I didn't mention it up front, but last week I had the opportunity to be at an ordination service for elders last week. And I watched those people. I watched very carefully. I watched how things went. And I was very impressed with the way things went. I was very impressed how it came off. And everybody in there except two people seemed to be using their bodies wisely. Now, of course, I don't know what lies hidden within them. I don't know what lies hidden within you. And you don't know what lies hidden within me. But after you consider the matter as a whole, how are you treating God's building? Is what I want you to leave here with today. And if you're not treating it right, if you're not treating it good, if you're not allowing it to serve God's full capacity, you need to check yourself. And then you need to go to the Lord and ask Him, Lord, what is it that You would have me to do? And then ask Him to give you the strength and the willpower and the knowledge to go on. I ask you once again this morning, or I make the statement once again this morning, you are God's building. And you need to treat it as such. And just before I close, I'll issue the invitation here. The invitation is very simple. If you have not been serving the Lord, if you found yourself to be a guilty distance from God's throne, you need to ask God to forgive you and ask the church to pray for you. Come forward, stand up here, face the audience and ask them and let them know that you need them to pray for you that you may gather strength to continue on. And if you've never been a member of the Lord's body, you ask God this question, Lord, what must I do? And then you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. Brother Jackson will put you in the water today. I know we've been through a lot of water, but you didn't go through this water. If you come forward and you haven't went through this water, you can be put through it today. And in the water, the blood meets the water. And you become a member of the Lord's body. And then your body will be a part of the Lord. That's right. So if you haven't made that decision yet, you can make that decision as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Page 15.